One of America's greatest theologians was born in the year 1703 and entered into glory 55 years later. This great theologian preached his famous sermon entitled Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, taken from Amos, Prophet Amos, chapter 9, verse 2 and 3. But aside from this famous sermon of his, this great theologian, this pastor, is also well known for his 70 resolutions, Jonathan Edwards. He only lived 55 years, so this meant that he wasn't writing a resolution or two once a year in January, as we nowadays often do, right? No, instead, he was faithful to write multiple resolutions throughout the year, from January to December. Every waking moment of his life, Edwards made it his ambition to live his life for God's glory. And it's killing sin and living for God. And so with Edwards' example of making biblical resolutions throughout the year, I want us to be challenged. I want to challenge each of us tonight to make a resolution. And that is this: to resolve to worship God and forsake this world. You see, man was and is created to worship. Created to worship God since the beginning in the Garden of Eden. But when Adam rebelled against God, man from then on until today loves to worship self. So, beloved, if we are true believers, true followers of our incarnate, risen Lord Jesus, if we wish to be faithful to this resolution, our challenge tonight, a resolution to worship God, then we need to ask ourselves two questions. First, what does worship look like? And second, who is at the center of our worship? Well, as we study the Psalms, the very first one in this book answers these exact questions. Psalm 1 is sometimes often referred to as the gatekeeper. Paired with Psalm 2, they together stand as gatekeepers to the rest of 148 Psalms. It is the first Psalm because it reveals to us the means by which to approach God properly in worship. And it describes to us two men, two paths, and two destinations. And so with that, I invite you to open with me to Psalm 1. And together we will see and observe how a godly man worships the Lord and how the wicked man does not. And that way we can know how to properly resolve to worship the Lord our God as a godly man, as a godly woman, and not as the wicked man starting tonight. And Lord willing, for the rest of our lives going forward. First, we will see the godly man, his path and his destination. And then secondly, we will see the wicked man, his path and his destination. Psalm 1 reads, "How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. And he will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season. And its leaf does not wither, and whatever he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but they are like chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish." The psalm opens up with, "Blessed is the man." Blessed is the man. This term, blessed, could also be referred to as happy. Happy is the man. And it is nice that we are happy in present circumstances, happy that we have a job, happy that our family is together, happy that you name it. Those are happy occasions. But that's not what the psalmist is referring to. No, blessed instead, this man is blessed because he has a deep-rooted joy and contentment His identity is in his God. And this drives him to avoid three distractions. Avoiding walking, avoid standing, and avoid sitting in and with wickedness. And by avoiding these distractions, he then clings to something, right? We'll see momentarily, he then clings to God's law in verse 2. But we also see that this is a downward pull. First he walks, then he stands, sits, he starts to get comfortable. But the blessed man is avoiding such distractions from worshiping his God. I believe he's following Proverbs 4:14, which says, "Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not proceed in the way of evil men." Likewise, Psalm 119, we'll see this later as Mr. Timothy goes on in chapter 119. Verse 104, it says, "From your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way." So we need to ask, how does this blessed man, how does this godly man cling to God's law and worship? How does he worship? What does he do? How does he act in relation to God's law? Verse 2 answers that for us. "But his delight is in the law of the Lord." This term delight is a deep-rooted love, a passionate love for another object, another individual. In this case, he's delighted in the law of the Lord. Psalm 112, verse 1 says, "How blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in his commandments." He has a love for God's commandments. And we'll see more delight in chapter 119, verse 35, and verse 47, and verse 92. Constantly we see delight come up. And we see that his delight is in the law of the Lord. What is the law of the Lord? I believe the psalmist, the time of the psalmist, would most likely be the Torah. Flip over to Joshua 1:8. We'll see this together. Joshua 1:8 says, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success." So now we move into meditation. Back in our Psalm 1, verse 2, on his law he meditates day and night. Meditation, we get a very good illustration. When we have cows here in Delaware, see cows in the field, standing, mouth is moving. What are they doing? They're chewing. First they swallow their food. All of us have eaten dinner, so that's okay. But hopefully this doesn't happen. They regurgitate their food back up into their mouth. And then they chew. They chew on the cud. And what are they doing? For hours and hours, they're soaking in every drop of nutrient for their body. And that is what the psalmist is doing. He's meditating hours and hours, soaking in God's majesty. He's meditating on his God. Day and night, this means, literally, day and night. It's not one day in seven where we meet Sunday morning and live however we want on the rest of the week. No, day and night. Psalm 63, verse 6 says, "When I remember on my bed, when you're sleeping, I meditate on you in the night watches." Again, Psalm 119, verse 55, "O Lord, I remember your name in the night and I keep your law." It's not an option. It's day and night for the blessed man. Now, verse 3, we see a simile. Verse 3, he will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and whatever he does, he prospers. This term, planted, indicates to us that he was not born by streams of water. He was not desiring streams of water. He was not picking up his roots and going after streams of water. No, he was planted there. What do we do with plants? We move them, right? We help the plants. More importantly, it gives us a picture of transplanted. This tree was transplanted there by an outside source. And what other outside source is there aside from us? Our God, our Creator, whom we were created to worship. But it is by the power of the Holy Spirit that he transplants this blessed man. He awakens this blessed man and plants him by streams of water to thrive. The streams of water, what is the streams of water? Well, beloved, it is none other than the book that is in your lap. The book that is on our shelf, in our houses. It is only by this book that we have hope. It is only by this book that we know who man is, who God is, how man is saved from God, by God, and to God. And now we see three results the psalmist gives us. Fruit in season, leaf does not wither, and whatever he does, he prospers in all things of life. So he's not, this blessed man is not thriving only when good times come around, right? No, there's fruit in certain times of season, and he's prospering throughout life. That means the good and the bad, sunshine and rain. So now we have come three verses. The blessed man, his path, and his destination. How do we summarize these three verses? Simple question. Are we this blessed man who seeks to worship the Lord? Are we this blessed woman who seeks to worship the Lord? Well, beloved, we are this blessed man because of our identity that is found in Christ. And his life, which is godly, is now lived out in our lives as we worship him. Colossians 3 says, therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ and God. Now we come to the wicked man, his path and his destination. Verse 4, the wicked are not so, but they are like chaff which the wind drives away. Literally, not so the wicked. We just saw the blessed man, and now we see not so the wicked. Meaning, the wicked are the very opposite. The wicked do not delight. The wicked do not meditate. The wicked do not delight in streams of water, not planted by streams of water. The very opposite. The blessed man is pictured as an immovable tree, firmly planted. But the wicked are pictured as chaff. What is chaff? It's very lightweight, tossed to and fro by the wind. And we can get a good picture of this in Matthew chapter 3. John the Baptist is speaking to the crowd of the coming judgment, preparing them for the coming judgment. Verse 11 and 12 says, his, that is Jesus, his pitchfork is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clear his threshing floor. He will toss up both the wheat and the chaff and let the wind divide the two. He will then gather the wheat that fall to the ground. Those are the blessed ones, as born-again believers. He will gather them into the barn. But he will burn up the chaff. What did we just see? The chaff are, the wicked are like the chaff. the wind drives the chaff away from the wheat. The ending of Matthew 3, verse 12. But he will burn up the chaff, that is the wicked, with unquenchable fire. Fire that will not be put out. Psalm 1, verse 5. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. Here now we observe the wicked man's courtroom scene. He is alone before his maker and his judge. Why is that? Well, verse 4. The wicked man chooses to continue living a lifestyle of sin, of wickedness, and rejects the very notion of worshiping God, who created him for the purpose of worshiping him. You want a good illustration? I learned this in the past few years. The wicked could be compared to a tiny wax figurine. You ask the wicked man, does the coming judgment concern you? No, I'll plead my case. I'll be with family. I'll be with friends. No, you will be like this tiny wax figurine before a blast furnace. That's the picture that we need to have in our mind of Psalm 1, verse 5. We will not stand. Verse 6, for the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Arriving at the final verse of this psalm, I communicated at the start that the psalm reveals to us two men, two paths, and two destinations. Well, now we observe the end, two destinations. God knows. The Lord knows. This term knows is a relational knowledge, the way a husband knows his wife. I am a husband. I know my wife. I also know my two boys. It's a lot different than that of me saying I know the president. I don't know the president. I know about him. I don't have a relationship with him. And the wicked man is walking his path, his rebellious lifestyle of sin against God, and what will happen? What does the psalmist say? He will perish, meaning this wicked man's life will come to nothing. His life will end in ruin. And notice that the Lord is not mentioned. The Lord knows the blessed man, but not the wicked man. The Lord has a relationship with the blessed man whose life will be eternally in God's glorious presence, worshiping him forever. We can see that in Matthew 25, verse 23, where we see a master welcoming in his servant. Master says, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master. There's a relationship going on. But the wicked man has no relationship with the Lord. Therefore, his life will be sentenced to eternal punishment of God's wrath. We see that in Matthew chapter 7, the end of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Verse 23, then I, Jesus, will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. You want a better term? Depart from me, you who practice wickedness. It's not much better, is it, actually? This is the reality. This is God's word. And in summary of these three verses, we summarize the first three. Now we can summarize the last three. Simply, are we this wicked man? Well, we once were wicked. Wicked by despising God, our Creator. Wicked by hating conviction and discipline that comes to us by the power of His Spirit. Or by the means of his people, correcting us, rebuking us in sin. But also, we were once wicked by spitting upon, beating, and slapping the face of Jesus. We can see that in two places. Matthew 26, verse 67, as well as Acts 2, 22 and 23. But for those of us who have placed our faith in the person and work of the Son, Jesus, who is the Christ, we can say that we were a wicked man, but now we are a blessed man. Romans 6 tells us, now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death no longer has master over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. Even so, consider yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. So, brothers and sisters in Christ, are you preparing yourselves? I'll single you out. Are you preparing yourselves to worship God? Are we calling our family and friends to do the same? If you can truly say yes, then praise be to God, for you are blessed. For you are a blessed man, a blessed woman, living a lifestyle of Psalm 1, verses 1 to 3. However, if you cannot say yes, meaning you are not worshiping God properly based off of this psalm, my dear friend, you are this wicked man. Choosing to live a life of rebellion against God, your Creator, choosing to worship yourself, and to think that you can find pleasure in the things of this world, which will never satisfy an individual, which will never satisfy you. So I invite you, I call you to do a beautiful gift that God has given us called repentance. Repent, turn from your sin, and look upon Christ on the cross. It's in Christ alone, as we sang, who died in your place and rose again from the dead, so that whoever believes in him will not perish, as the psalmist says, but have everlasting life. So, beloved, come, let us worship with him. Let us worship him with our entire life and soul, starting tonight. Amen? Let's pray. Father in heaven, we again thank you for a blessed night. Lord, allowing us to gather again. Lord, we thank you for this psalm. We thank you for your word through the psalmist. Lord, granting us life and death, as you told your children Israel. Life and death are before you, and you desire for us to choose life, Father. We ask this for everyone in this room. Lord, everyone in this church, Berean Community Church, we pray that you would grant us the gift of your salvation. Lord, help us to repent. Lord, by the power of your Holy Spirit, we ask for eyes to see and ears to hear continually. Lord, we pray that, Lord, that we would confess our wickedness. And Lord, we ask that you would help us to repent and be called blessed by the power of your Son, who took our wickedness and paid it in full. Thank you for tonight. We ask that you would go before us. And Lord, bless the rest of our night, and may we, Lord, bless you in return in proper worship, starting tonight for the rest of our lives. Lord, may tonight be the day of our salvation. Lord, for those who don't know you, and Lord, for those who do know you, we pray that you would help us continually to repent, Lord, and continually look upon Christ on the cross. We ask this in the name of the Father, Heavenly Father, Eternal Spirit, and Blessed Son. Amen.